Amen. Pastor Adrian, you'll be at the table in the foyer, so come by and have a conversation with Pastor Adrian about life groups, and he'll help point you in a certain direction. I'm sure that'll be good if you're wondering just which way to go. So we ask three things of our people who call this church home. We ask that you would worship with us on Sunday. We ask that you would consider being a part of a life group. And we ask that you would find your place in our volunteer culture. So those are the three things. And so life groups is a big part of what we invite you into so that you can really know the life of the church and the church can know you. So thank you, Pastor Adrian, for all your hard work and your prayers and leading us in this discipleship journey that we're on. Last Sunday, I talked about three words to reach people. To reach people. And today we're still kind of moving into that whole idea about reaching people, to touch people, to care for people. And I'm asking those who help us on our shepherding team to come and sit for a few moments this morning and let you hear their heart. I'm going to ask Pastor Jim and Pastor Carol and Pastor Roger to come and just sit here with me for a few moments. And the microphones are already here. You can choose whichever color you think would be best for you. Take the pink one, Carolyn, please. Okay. And we'll just have a little casual conversation here. Pastor Jim's got his book, so he's probably going to read to us a little bit. But we'll take that as well. This is Pastor Roger Dove, if you don't know who he is. He's sitting right here next to me, holding a well-worn Bible. And this is Pastor Carolyn Bean. And she's here as one of our shepherds, but also does a lot of our counseling ministry through that same vein. And this is Pastor Jim Harrison, who's been around for a few years. And we're going to talk about that later in the service. But he's the one that kind of gives the leadership oversight to our shepherding endeavors. I'm going to start here with Pastor Roger and just going to move right to the quick. And I've asked them each to take a few minutes and to share whatever might be on their heart concerning the ministry of shepherding. I said last week that we want to add value to people's lives. And this certainly is a way, one way, that we do that. So Pastor Roger, take the microphone and speak to our hearts whatever the Lord has laid on yours in this area.
Well, Pastor Carey talked about the volunteer culture just a few minutes ago. The good news about this is that if you're a believer, you are qualified to comfort your neighbors, your co-workers, your family who are suffering. If you're a believer, you're qualified. That's what it requires. And here's the other part. If you're a believer, you're called to comfort those who are hurting around you. You might say, well, Roger, that's pretty presumptuous. You don't know me. I'm an introvert. Well, let me read to you what Paul said. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You see, as believers, we're all called and we're all qualified. And what qualifies us, and if you've known me for a while, you've seen this illustration before. What qualifies us is the wounded healer, which is Jesus himself. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. And we take that and comfort others. You see, the problem is we live in a band-aid society, not a bandage society. Our world has no idea what to do with suffering. Our world tries to minimize suffering, tries to avoid it, tries to come up for reasons why people are suffering, just like Job's comforters did. And our world especially likes quick closure on suffering. And when our world comforts those who are suffering, they want quick closure so they can get on with their own life. But the reality is we need bandage comforting. Bandage comforting. Remember what God did with your wounds, your hurts, your suffering. And with that knowledge, compassionately and with empathy, comforting others. So just remember the bandage. We enter situations in other people's lives where band-aids aren't going to do it, and reasons for the suffering aren't going to do it. But we can point them to a future hope in a fallen world. If you read Sarah Young in her book, Jesus Always, today, she used those words, future hope in a fallen world. Mm-hmm. When someone's dying of cancer in the hospital room, you don't go in with reasons. You go in with a future hope in a fallen world.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Roger. That's a beautiful portrait of the wounded healer. Jesus Christ is that. And now he has placed that ministry in our hands and entrusted us to carry out what he began. And it seems overwhelming, but the song we sang earlier said, I will not be overwhelmed. So we know that we have his presence with us. He is doing the comforting through us. He is doing the healing through our lives. He is doing compassion through the likes of us. And so thank you, Pastor Roger. Pastor Carolyn, anything you would like to share along those lines, and take us in any direction that your heart is pointed?
Okay. Thank you, Pastor Carey. Well, first, just that we know Jesus is the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. And the picture over there leaning up against the cross says, the Lord is my shepherd. And so we know that he is our perfect example as he shepherds us, how we can move into spaces when we're invited. And we typically think of shepherding as at the hospital, at the bedside, before surgery. We also have times of joy. We've had several new babies born recently into our congregation, so that's a time that I especially really enjoy going to pray with new families that are welcoming one of God's creations into the world. The of course, Scripture speaks specifically of the shepherd, Psalm 23, 1 Peter 5. That chapter speaks of Jesus as being the good shepherd, and Peter is sharing Jesus' words with others to encourage them to be the good shepherd. And as Pastor Carey says, we're the under-shepherds of the good shepherd. So we go as his vessel, and I agree with what Pastor Roger said, that when I think back as a young person in youth group, if you live in Stanton, two of the places where you get to minister are Western State Hospital or what used to be called Woodrow Wilson's Rehab Center. So even as a teenager, I would go with their youth group and meet with people that were in those challenging places in their life. And so, again, we are all called to do that, first with our families, our neighbors, our coworkers, this week at the resting place, wherever you might go, you can be his vessel. The other thing I wanted to share is that this church has shepherded us. My father had an illness for a long time. Their small church, my parents' small church, had an interim pastor who, because of his own health needs, was not able to go into the hospital, was not able to go into the care facility. And so pastors here prayed for us and with us. So I've also been on the other side of it. And life is a journey for sure. And I often say, I don't know how people that don't have the Lord get through some of the challenging things in life. But we all may face a loss, a health issue, surgery, a procedure, a birth in the family. So we do just want to journey with one another, and we want to do it God's way of taking care of one another and our people.
Amen. Pastor Carolyn mentioned the birth of babies. I believe that Brandon and Caitlin Falk are here today. Might be their second Sunday with Ainsley. Where are you? Stand. Let us see that baby. Uh-huh. There. Let's have a hand for new babies. Hallelujah. Beautiful. And Pastor Carolyn spoke about how we are the under-shepherds. Bill Kangry told me once, he said, Pastor Carey, you are the sheep dog. That's what you are. And I've never forgot that, Brother Kangry. So we know who the shepherd is. And our goal in shepherding is to point people to the good shepherd. We know that he is the one that ultimately brings the comfort that our hearts desire. Pastor Jim, I believe you might be chomping at the bit over there. So just 3, 2, 1, go.
Just thinking about today and sharing with you the idea of shepherding reminded me of how when we first actually came into this building on Sunday mornings, we used to meet together as a men's group, and we met together specifically to pray not only for the day, but for the people who would be here and the needs that they had. And we also had a time of sharing with our men, and in one of those meetings, I actually brought this book with me, Man to Man by Chuck Swindoll. And the people who were in that room that morning were all men. And so I read a story out of his book on the life of Teddy Stollard. And as I read the story that morning, it was about a young man who had grown up in a very difficult environment. His mother had passed away at an early age, you know, and left him. His father wasn't really interested in his life as far as schoolwork. And so over the period of years, progressively, he declined. And in the fifth grade, he came into the room of Mrs. Thompson. And she actually said initially that when he was there, because of his poor performance, she found a little bit of delight in just making X's over the places where he was wrong and writing an F with a flare on it to just note that he wasn't really trying. And that Christmas, when all of the kids came together and brought gifts in, Teddy brought his gift in a brown paper bag. And it was an old bracelet that had rhinestones in it. Many of the places on that bracelet, the rhinestone had actually fallen out. And he had taped the paper bag together with Christmas tape. And along with that, he brought some cheap perfume. And when she opened his gift, it said, "To Mrs. Thompson, from Teddy Stollard, Merry Christmas." When he opened that gift, actually some of the kids in the class began to laugh, and she hushed the crowd. And after all of the kids had left that day, he walked up to her desk, and he said to her, "Mrs. Thompson?" And as though she didn't hear him, she turned away. He said, "Mrs. Thompson, I just wanted to thank you for the perfume." He said, "You smell so much like my mother. And the bracelet looks so beautiful on your wrist. Thank you, Mrs. Thompson." When he left that day, Mrs. Thompson got down on her knees by her chair in her classroom, and she said, "Lord, would you forgive me? And would you help me to be a blessing to my students?" And that year, she contributed to success and the development of the academic pursuit of Teddy Stollard. He disappeared from her life, but then a few years later, she got a letter, and it said this: "Mrs. Thompson, I just wanted you to know I graduated second in my class, high school." 4 years later, she got another letter. He said, "Mrs. Thompson, I think you'd be happy to know that I graduated first in my class in college. College wasn't easy, but I liked it." 4 years later, she got another letter, and he said, "Mrs. Thompson, I think you'd be really happy to know that this year I graduated Theodore Stollard, M.D. Thank you. I'm getting married next month, and I'd like you to come and sit in the place of my mother." Mrs. Thompson went, and she sat in the place of Teddy's mother, realizing the valuable impact that she had made, a caring presence. When I became a part of the staff here, that was one of the things that Pastor Carey talked about as shepherds, that we would become a caring presence to the people in our church. And whenever he signed a letter, he always signed the letter, "Love never fails." And that became the watchword of Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. As a result of that story that morning, Pastor Roger actually picked up on that, or at some point in his ministry, he began to give out teddy bears as hope teddies for people who were struggling with physical problems in our church and challenges in their lives. He also developed a program every year that reminds me of this when we take up the annual Teddy Stollard Fund that goes to help a young person. Shepherding to me is going to the hospital, and I remember the first time that I went over to the old RMH, and we had a couple young guys that were in the church. They were younger then, Mike Davis and Clayton Justice. Clayton had just come in, and both of them had children at the same time. And sometimes I'm a little bit scatterbrained, not sometimes, but a lot of times I'm a little bit scatterbrained. And I couldn't remember if Diane was Clayton's mother or if Libby was Clayton's mother. And I prayed that the Lord would somehow get me out of the fix that I was in. But it was visiting children. And I was reminded yesterday as I visited another little one that was born, how valuable the children are in the church. They've grown up. And they become wonderful young people who love the Lord. It also reminds me of the fact that we do walk through people through the valley of the shadow of death. Over the years, we've said goodbye to many of the people that we love, that have been very dear to us, that have helped us to come to the place where we are in the ministry here on this corner some 20 years later. And it also reminds us of the fact that future generations, young people, who are coming through the school of education and preparing for ministry are all a part of that. And I also thought about men's prayer, how when we get together on Tuesday mornings as men and pray one for another, as the ladies get together and pray one for another, all of this is shepherding. It all finds itself under that hat, and it all means that we are caring one for another. And sometimes when I sit in those meetings, like men's meetings, I think about the men in that room, like Doug Helvey and Kathy, and some of the things that they're going through in their life. And it's a way that the Lord prompts and reminds us of the needs of the people that are around us, so that when we come across people on the road of life that are down in the mud and the blood of the Jericho Road, we can get down there with them. And we can pour in the oil and wine of love and grace and the goodness of our God. And we can help them in and through all of that. Shepherding to me is hope, never failing, in caring for the lives of people that the Lord has put under our watch.
Amen. I've asked each of the pastors to close in prayer, so we can hear them speak to God on behalf of caring for one another in His name. So we'll start back here. Pastor Roger, would you lead us in prayer and then just go right down the line, each of the three of you?
Let's pray. Well, Lord, I didn't know where you wanted me to close on my part today, and Pastor Jim led me down not a rabbit trail, but a memory trail. You see, I wasn't Pastor Roger that day that he shared that devotional. I was one who had been healed by you and loved you. And so I pray, Lord, that the people here today will know that they are qualified and that they are called to comfort their coworker who's got a bad diagnosis, or the one who's lost their job, or their family member that's in crisis, or their neighbor just down the street that doesn't know the Lord and they just want to invite them over to fellowship and to see Jesus through them. So, Lord, I pray that you empower the people. They don't have to be on staff. They don't even have to be on shepherd staff. They don't have to be. They all have a ministry field, every one of them. So today, help them leave knowing that they are qualified if they're trusting in you, and they are called if they're trusting in you. and help them to remember their wounds that were healed by you. It is only through your power that empowers us to comfort others with empathy. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Lord God, we come to you this morning. Thank you for being our chief shepherd, the good shepherd. And Lord, we want to journey with others in the way that you have called us to. So Lord, we go with your leading, your guiding, your directing. We don't lean on our own understanding. Lord, we pray for your words, your hope, your life, your truth, and your love. And Lord, I'm reminded in Romans that you say nothing can separate us from your love. And so, Lord, I pray for each pastor, for each person here, that we use those opportunities that you give us to journey with others, whether in joy or sorrow. That is what you call us to. And I ask and pray this in the matchless and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, we thank you today for the promise of your word that you have said you would never leave us, that you would never forsake us. And we are grateful today, Lord, that many times you show up in our lives in the form of someone in skin. And I pray, Lord, that we would be mindful of the fact that we are the body, you are the head. May we be your hands and feet in ministry and service one to another. And Lord, through kindness and through commitment, may we love each other as a family, a body, out of pure hearts, passionately, because of your great love for us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If we could have a hand for the good shepherd, the under shepherd, and the sheep dogs. You just leave them. Thank you so much. If you have your copy of the scriptures today, I just want to take a few moments and return back to some of the thoughts that we were sharing last week. And just a few moments of looking at God's word and this whole idea to reach people. The passage that I was sharing from last week is 1 Corinthians. It is chapter 9, and it is verses 19 through 23. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 23. I chose the Message paraphrase of the Holy Scriptures for this particular portion of sharing. And so if you like to make your way there, I do have it on the screen. I realize the font is a little small, but it does help me to kind of keep up with where I am. There were some ideas I was sharing from this passage. I had heard a message that John Maxwell had preached and was trying to take that and place it in my own heart and share it from my own experience. And the sense is that I wanted to share seven ideas from this passage. I shared three last week. Number one is that we need to be very intentional to add value to people, especially lost people. Be very intentional to add value to lost people. The second idea I shared last Sunday was that we need to be very intentional to everyone, understanding that every person that we encounter, that person matters to Jesus. And that if that person matters to Jesus, that person should matter to us. The third idea that I shared was we need to be very intentional in knowing who we are in Christ, not forgetting the foundation of the relationship that we are in with Jesus. Now, these ideas came from this passage. Even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant. That's the idea of adding value to people's lives. We serve others in the name of Jesus. I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose living, immoralist, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. So that takes in the idea that we are to be very intentional to everyone. And then the third piece, be very intentional in knowing who you are in Christ. We continue to read, I didn't take on their way of life, lost people. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. And so the sense is that we need to be very intentional in knowing and remembering who we are in Christ as we go to reach people, not forget who we are. I return home as often as I can. I mean, the coast of North Carolina. And there are reasons why I go back to see Mama. That's number one. to visit my dad's grave. That's probably number two now. But I also go to see people that I still have relationships with from way back, you know. And the sense is, I also go home because I have this philosophy that if you forget where you came from, you won't know where you're going, and you won't know who you are once you arrive. And so this is the idea I believe Paul is getting at when he says, be very intentional in knowing who you are in Christ. He said very carefully, I didn't take on their way of life. A lot of times people think, well, if I'm going to reach the lost, I need to become exactly like them in their lifestyle. Oh, well, sorry, you just defeated the purpose in that moment. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings. That idea has to do with foundation. I kept my foundation. It has to do with focus. I kept my focus. I did not lose sight, in other words, of who I was in Christ. Now, the fourth idea that I want to share is be very intentional in entering their world, the people who are lost. Paul goes on to say, but I entered their world. He kept his bearings, who he was in Christ, but he had no problem entering the world of lost people. Because how will they know unless we tell them? A lost person cannot find their way to foundness. I mean, a lost person is lost. And so we who are found, we enter the world of the lost people because we know the way in and we know the way out. Jesus is the way. And so this idea I think is beautiful. I just want to recap. Number one, be very intentional to add value to lost people. Number two, be very intentional to everyone. Number three, be very intentional in knowing who you are in Christ. Number four, be very intentional in entering their world. Number five, we also can come to Scripture. It says, be very intentional to experience things from their point of view. But I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. In other words, try to put your feet in their shoes. Try to see their brokenness, what has caused their lostness. Try to understand. And this is the way the Apostle Paul went about soul winning. I believe this is really his personal soul winning plan. And then we go on to the next piece. Not only experiencing things from their point of view, but number six, be very intentional to creatively move people toward God. Be very intentional to creatively move people toward God. And he went on to say, I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. And so what was Paul saying? He's saying, I am very intentional to be creative in the way to move people toward God. And then the final idea of the passage, number seven, be very intentional in sharing God's message and experiencing God at work. And he continues this passage, 1 Corinthians 19, verse 19 through 23, with these words. I did all of this because of the message, the good news. This is the reason that I have been very intentional about all of these items. I did it all because of the message. And this is powerful, the way he closes his thoughts on evangelism. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. You know, and this is one of the things in my life that I want to make sure that I walk the talk. A lot of times we can just talk about how our heart is broken for lost people. But if we can begin to walk the talk. Now, in case someone's making notes, I want to just go through the seven quickly. Be very intentional to add value to lost people. Number two, be very intentional to everyone. Number three, be very intentional in knowing who you are in Christ. Number four, be very intentional in entering their world. Number five, be very intentional to experience things from their point of view. Number six, be very intentional to creatively move people toward God. And number seven, be very intentional in sharing God's message. Be very intentional in sharing God's message and experiencing God at work. In other words, experience it, be in on it, as the Apostle Paul said. I've had this thought, you know, going through my mind. We sometimes, as church folk, the number one question we have, and I'll elaborate on this a little bit from last week, is we ask people, do you want to come to church? I think that's a fine question. It beats no question. But I don't think it is the first question people are expecting to hear from us. I think really they would like to have us ask, would you like me to share my faith with you? Or would you like to hear my story of how my life has found hope? Or would you like to hear about Jesus? I think that in today's society, people are more open to hear about Jesus than to hear about church. So the sense is that maybe we begin at the wrong angle and we forget that, you know, Christ in us is the hope of glory. So I have learned that sometimes when I've tried to talk to people about church, they shut me down. They don't want to hear it. But I have yet to begin a conversation with anyone where I talked about Jesus where they totally shut me down. Now, maybe you have, but what I'm saying is I haven't met a lot of people who are mad at Jesus. I mean, the one who died for the world. And so the sense is, what if we began our conversation with Jesus and how he has changed our life, and hopefully along the way we'll also invite them to church or to life group. This will be a great place for them to experience Jesus in the life of the body. There's a passage in Matthew 9 that is a real foundation for my own heart. And you're going to be very familiar with it when I read it. I want to read it from the New Living Translation of God's Holy Word. It is Matthew 9, verse 35, 36, 37, and 38. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, the Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, this is where it starts to get to me. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields." Now, when we leave the church, when the church leaves the building, we have an opportunity to become the answer to this prayer that Jesus has prayed, that the Lord who is in charge of the harvest would send his workers into the field. And we are the ones who have been commissioned with the work to reach lost people. And so, you know, this week we had an opportunity. The rest in place is just sort of an illustration of how we can leave our world and enter the world of others. And I was blessed to be there every evening at the resting place. I could share many stories of how God worked. But I don't know the results of everything that's going to happen. But I can tell you there was a lot of good soil and there was a lot of good seed going in that soil. To be in a public place and to watch spontaneous prayer break out and to watch people weep in their chair as someone just communicated hope to them. And some people returned night after night. There was one particular situation that may be the reason we were there. There was a precious mother who, while we were at the fair, lost a son in a very tragic way. And the day after her loss, she left home and came to the fair. And I got to experience holy ground as I watched Pastor Margaret with this precious mother just together, praying, weeping, listening, just adding value to this mother's life. And so we know there were many others, but see, the idea is we don't want this to just be the resting place one time a year. We want to be the ones who go out today and we begin to add value and all those other ideas that I listed to the lives of lost people. And we continue to make sure that the good news is shared and that other people come to know that the Lord is good and that He loves them. John Maxwell shared a great story, and I'll close with this. He talked about how he has a top 10 list of people that are so lost in his life that it seems like it would be near impossible for them to find Christ. And he encounters them, he invests in them, he prays for them. And he told the story about an atheist that's in his life. And he said whenever he gets around this particular atheist, he makes it clear to John, I don't want to hear any scripture. I don't want to hear any of that stuff that you want to talk to me about. And so John is just sort of, you know, plays a nice game with him. He's like, well, I would never share that with you. Yeah, getting him curious, you know. And so he said just recently, after years of investing in him, he looked at me and said, I'll tell you what, John, I'm ready to have a discussion with you about the historical Jesus. Now, don't bring scripture. I just want to talk about the historical Jesus. And John said, come to daddy. I mean, that was his statement, you know. Was he said, now how long can you talk about Jesus without talking about scripture? It's not going to last long. And he said the sense was that when he got right down to the question, he said, why are you an atheist? He said, I could never, never serve a God who would send people to hell. And John said, well, me neither. And he said the atheist's face just went blank, just flush. And he said, well, what are you talking about? Your God sends people to hell. He said, oh, no, that's some other God. You have totally misunderstood who God is. I mean, you've been wasting your life being an atheist if that's what you think. Now he's getting curious. And he said, you need to share with me, what are you talking about? And John said, oh, I got to tell you about Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Do you know that's why He sent His Son, my friend? He sent His Son so He wouldn't have to send people to hell. That's the way out. And he said, that's my God. That's my God. And John said, I got beside myself talking to the atheist. He said, that's my God. That's my God. He don't send people to hell. He sent His Son to earth so He wouldn't have to send people to hell. People don't know who God is. We have to tell them. We have to let them know that God is love. God is not some figment of some bad imagination. God has given His Son. He has sent His Son to earth so He would not have to send people to hell. People who go to hell, they choose. They choose to reject Jesus. And people send themselves to hell, not God. And I hope that if you had any idea that the God we serve sends people to hell, that you will learn the truth. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He said, no one comes to the Father except by me. You know, the reverse of that. Everyone who wants to comes to the Father through me. I am the way. What better way? Every other religion says, I will show you a way. Jesus says, I am the way. God the Father gave His Son to become one of us so that He could bring us to Himself, not just now, but for forever. Friends, we need to get busy letting this world know. This world has forgotten who the real God is. And we need to start telling our story and letting them know. There may be some atheists on our watch who just have believed a lie. And so today, I pray that we will get a new heart for souls and that when we go out into the world, we will realize that every single soul that we encounter is one that Jesus wants to bring to heaven. And we could be the way that leads them to the way. We could be the one that points them to the good Savior. This is our opportunity. Could we pray for a moment this morning? And I know that I'm trying to pack a lot in just to a few minutes, but I've done that before. And I pray that there'll be so much in your mind that you will begin your own investigation of the Scriptures and how you might become one of those that Jesus prayed who would go out into the harvest fields and bring in those that He has compassion on and that He would give us that same compassion until they come to know Him as Savior. Lord Jesus, we've heard the statistic that 53% of all Americans are not coming to church. But Lord, that does not keep us from going to them. And I pray, Lord, that we will not go to people with the church. We will go to people with Jesus. And then if we can win their heart toward loving you, then we can invite them to the church. I pray, God, that you would teach us that this world is more ready to hear about Jesus than we are ready to tell it. I believe, Lord, today that there's curiosity. There are people in our circles of influence who know that we have hope. And what they simply cannot believe is that we will not share it with them. So I pray, God, that we will first live the life, earn the right to give our story, and then have the courage to point people to Jesus before it's too late. And everyone said, and everyone who agreed said, amen. Amen. All right, that's what amen means. So be it. I agree. May God give us all opportunity like we've never known. At this time, we're going to just shift a little bit to a meaningful part of the year. Every year, we recognize milestones in those who have been a part of our pastoral staff and our support staff here at the local church. And we don't want to take for granted all that God has done and those that He has entrusted with us. As I sat there and I listened to Pastor Roger and Pastor Carol and Pastor Jim, I thought about their lives over the years. And as I listened to them pray, I know where they honed their prayers. It was over the bedsides of people who were suffering. It was over a casket. It was at the birth of a child. And as I listened to each of them pray, I just received their prayer really personal in my life. And I hope you did as well. But today we have five folk that we do the 5, 10, 15, 20 year, 25, hopefully in the years ahead. And so I'm going to have these come stand here with me if they would. I'm going to have Renee Torres, if Renee would come, and Felicidad Martinez. Also going to have Vicky Dove and Pastor Sam Montanez and Pastor Jim Harrison. Just come stand anywhere along here will be fine. A couple on this side, two or three on this side. I want to say that, the ones on this side, they've lined up perfectly here. Renee Torres, who helps us care for our facility and our grounds, and he's a pretty mean cook as well. Renee does a lot. 10 years, Brother Renee has been with us. And we love you, brother. And we are better because we get to spend our days with you. So thank you so much for coming into our family. And I hope you know that we love you. And not just today, but moment by moment and day by day. This is Felicidad Martinez, who has also now been with us 10 years. Oh, my. If you don't want to get busy for the kingdom, don't hang around Felicidad. Because that's what her life is about. Her life is about reaching the least of these, and she is very serious, but not just that. She's excellent. She knows how to go about things and get things done. Anyone who can work along Pastor Sam Montanez, because he demands excellence, I can tell you they got to be good, because he wants the best that things can be. And they work so beautifully together and have for 10 years. So let's tell Felicidad that we love her. Yeah. She's a good mother and wife, too. And this is Vicky Dove. Now, Vicky Dove has been around the church for quite a while. Actually, she beat me here, she and Roger. And when Roger was talking about I wasn't Pastor Roger, when they didn't let title keep them from ministry, let me just tell you. From the get-go, they understood the idea that those who belong to Christ are ministers unto the good news. And so Vicky worked a long time at James Madison University. Then she did a stint over at Steve Wingfield. And all of that honed her to come here and oversee what happens here. She's been our executive manager now, been on our staff for 10 years. And I can tell you one thing. I don't worry about much detail as long as Vicky Dove is here. And she handles things that I wouldn't even know how to handle, which is a good thing for you, by the way. And Vicky, we love your life. We know that everything you do is worship unto the Lord. And we celebrate 10 years of that today. Yep. And on this side of the aisle here, wearing the pink shirt, man, you look sharp, Pastor Sam. Yes, I do. Now, Pastor Sam and I have known each other a long, long time. We met in Bible college, and actually I served alongside him on the student council. He was the president, I was the secretary. And that's where I learned a little bit about excellence, working alongside him. But guess what else we did together in partnership at the Bible college? We ran the food bank together, Pastor Sam and I. Can you believe this? Pastor Sam came to us from Illinois. I brought his beautiful family, flew down, drove from Richmond over this way praying, had a couple offers. Actually, the district was trying to hire him as well, but we won out. God knew we needed him most. Pastor Sam's been our missional pastor now for 15 years, and a lot it has been and is being accomplished for the glory of God. And we celebrate your life, Pastor Sam. We love you, man. We love you. We love you. And you know, Hope Distributed is part of his heart, and God is really working there to make sure we love our community. That's the best proof, maybe, that we do love our community. And then on this side over here, this fella showed up over on Roosevelt Street when we were over there in the day, and he could pastor any church he wants to pastor. He just decided the Lord had called him to be alongside me, and I thought that was a pretty good deal. I remember when I first brought him on staff, some veteran pastors in Virginia met him at a banquet. And one came to me and said, "Why would you hire Jim Harrison?" I thought, "What has Jim said over there at that table?" And so I said, "What do you mean by that?" They said, "Well, you hire somebody like him, the church might not want you anymore. He's that good." I said, "I'm not intimidated by good people. I'm inspired by them." And Pastor Jim came. He has a heart for about everything that has to do with the Word of God. But early on, he let me know that he felt the strongest call was to shepherd our people. And so he came from Wingfield Ministries. He was a part of that ministry last. And he just felt like he needed to be with his family. And he looked at me one day at Roosevelt Street and said, "Do you think I could ever be on your team?" That was a humbling moment for me. And we've been through many dangers, toils, and snares, but we are still together. We love you, Pastor Jim. God bless you.
Love you. Love you.
Okay, and if you come back to the second service, I have gifts for you. If you will do that, let's have a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, there's not any way I could say enough about the people alongside me. First of all, I thank you for this church that believes it's important to have a full-time ministry. Not that we would just be part-time or give our leftovers to ministry, but that we would have actual folk in the community and beyond our community that are full-time about eternal things. And we couldn't do this without the local church. So we give thanks to the generosity, the tithers, the people who say we believe eternity will reveal that this was an investment well worth it. And Lord, these who stand with me today, Pastor Jim and Pastor Sam, Renee Torres and Felicidad Martinez and Vicky Dove, Lord, these are the kind of people that are my people. I know their lives. I know their heart is first and foremost for you. And I'm glad that no matter what position they hold at the church, they understand that ministry is their call, and people matter most to these people. And I pray, God, that you will continue to bless them on their journey, and that we'll have many more years to share together in partnership. And when we get to heaven, we'll be in the same neighborhood. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can give one more hand. Praise God. We love you guys. We love you. I'm a blessed man. And we are a blessed church. And now if you'd stand, you'll feel like you're getting ready to go to lunch. If you do, we just have a few things. First of all, the Paul Wilbur worship evening will be September the 21st. That information is probably in your worship guide today. Some of you have already been getting your tickets. They're free, but you need to go online at hopeforisraelusa.com. hopeforisraelusa.com. You can reserve four tickets at a time in your name, and we hope that you will be here on that wonderful evening when we are going to just worship God. We're going to pull all the stops, and you will hear about the service if you're not here, but I hope you're here to tell others about how God moved your heart as this messianic Jewish worship leader led us to worship King Jesus. I think it'll be a night we won't forget. Today, if you'd like to have someone to pray with you, you can stop right by the well. It's on the way out across from the cafe. And first-time friends, if you're visiting with us for the first time, right back here, Brother Dwight Half and his dear wife is coming too, I see. They're right under the Holiness Unto the Lord sign. We have a gift bag that we'd like to give you for being here today. So please stop there. Celebrate Recovery be happening. The meal at 6 o'clock tomorrow and the gathering at 6:30. If you have any questions about that while you're at the well in that area, you could ask questions about Celebrate Recovery. Now, just because I thought you might like to, we like to stay on top of things in our evangelism budget. We just had our rest in place, and we didn't receive an offering yet this year to cover expenses or to look forward at expenses for other similar ideas. So as you go out today, the ushers will be standing there. They won't let you out. No, it's not like that. If you would like to give anything to the ministry of the rest in place and our presence evangelism opportunities in our community that will be coming up in the new year, then you just place that money in the plate or the bucket or whatever as you go out of the church today. And we will put that towards, all of that will go towards our evangelism efforts. So we thank you so much for just all that you've done. And this week, those of you who were at the rest in place, those of you who prayed for the rest in place, it was an amazing moment. I know in one of the services I told about my friend Gene that I met the first year. I don't know if I told you he came again. The first year he wouldn't hardly talk. We just barely got a few words. The next year he sat under the tent with me and told me he had found himself a church. And this year he came and sat a solid hour, talked my ears off. We had a wonderful, wonderful time together. And God is at work at the rest in place. And I believe you're going to hear results of your efforts and your contribution, your investment in that. And especially want to say thanks to Pastor Margaret. I don't think she's in the room right now. But she is the one who brings the people together and makes that thing happen and keeps the flowers watered, Chuck brought along, and you know, all of that stuff. And we are so grateful to those who have a heart for lost souls. So if you see any of the people, just be sure to thank them. And I'm done talking now, and you can go in peace.